From national news in D.C. to behind-the-scenes coverage of the Nebraska Capitol, this is your Capitol Connection. And now, bringing the Capitol to you, here's your host, Nate Groz.
And welcome to the program. We are broadcasting today from the Nebraska Family Alliance Studio in Lincoln. And of course, we are starting the show today by wishing a very happy Mother's Day to all of the moms out there, and especially my mom, who quite literally and figuratively I would not be where I am today without. So thanks, Mom, and a very happy Mother's Day. We are looking ahead to the upcoming Nebraska primaries just around the corner on May 15th and how you can be an informed voter if you're heading into the polls on this Tuesday. But first, we're taking a look at some important news from nearby states in the Midwest, Oklahoma and Kansas, who became the 8th and 9th states in the country to protect faith-based adoption agencies. This is a huge development and a crucial win for religious liberty. Last week, the Kansas legislature passed the Adoption Protection Act, making Kansas the 9th state to protect the right of faith-based adoption agencies to continue their good work of finding loving homes for children. Kansas followed Oklahoma, who passed a similar measure earlier last week as well. Our sister organization in Kansas, the Family Policy Alliance of Kansas, was heavily involved in advocating for the bill. They thanked the Kansas legislators for standing strong despite intense criticism and said that this would not have been possible without the thousands of Kansans all over the state who joined in calling on elected leaders to not just talk about the importance of religious freedom, but to actually do something to protect faith-based adoption and foster care providers who selfishly serve children. You see, unlike states such as Massachusetts and Illinois, who have actually actively pushed out faith-based adoption providers, they're providing fewer opportunities for children. When that happened in Massachusetts, Illinois, it also happened in California and Washington, D.C. These faith-based adoption providers were forced to close their doors, leaving fewer providers and fewer opportunities for children. So unlike those states, Kansas has joined the growing trend to protect these agencies and the children that they serve, because that's what this bill is really about, children. So while other states have shut down these faith-based providers, Kansas and Oklahoma have made it very clear that everyone is welcome there. Everyone is welcome to foster and adopt children. And as state and local governments across the country have cut funding and contracts for faith-based child welfare service providers solely because of their sincerely held religious beliefs, Congress has been considering federal action. We talked about this on the show last week, the Child Welfare Provider Inclusion Act, which would ensure the federal government and state governments receiving funding for child welfare programs do not discriminate against faith-based adoption and foster care providers. This is essential that this law gets approved by Congress. Not only is it likely the only religious freedom bill that Congress will consider all year, here in Nebraska, we don't have that law. We don't have a Religious Freedom Restoration Act, and we don't have anything protecting our faith-based child welfare agencies. And actually, in 2016, Nebraska lawmakers considered a measure that was just passed in Kansas and Oklahoma. That bill advanced from committee but failed to overcome a filibuster. And although that bill to protect our faith-based adoption providers in Nebraska, it became very clear through the committee process, the committee hearing, and the media stories and all of the controversy that surrounded the bill when it was being considered, it became clear that there is significant hostility towards faith-based adoption and foster care agencies, even in Nebraska. One state senator even filed an official complaint with the Nebraska Department of Health and Human Services solely because faith-based agencies acknowledged that when they recruit and train foster families, they work with Christian families who regularly attend church and sign their statement of faith, and that the at the core of these agencies, their mission is to place children in homes that have both a mother and a father. These agencies and hundreds like them across the country have been operating within the bounds of the law for decades. Faith-based agencies have met the needs, literally, of hundreds of thousands of our nation's most vulnerable children. In Nebraska alone, in 2015, these agencies served more than 500 children. I think that these victories in Kansas and Oklahoma in passing proactive laws to protect the First Amendment rights of these faith-based agencies shows that politicians and citizens understand that we must reclaim religious liberty, the freedom to live and work according to one's beliefs, before it's too late. It would undermine the best interests of children to force these faith-based child welfare agencies to stop providing this much-needed foster care and adoption services. Nebraska's most vulnerable children cannot afford to lose one safe and loving foster family. This is why it's so important that Congress not only consider but pass the Child Welfare Provider Inclusion Act. And Kansas and Oklahoma are doing the right thing, following the footsteps of other states to proactively protect their own faith-based agencies and ensure they have as many people as possible working to find loving homes for children. And as I mentioned, this law failed in Nebraska 2 years ago because it couldn't overcome a filibuster, meaning there weren't enough senators willing to take a stand on this issue and support religious freedom and protect faith-based providers. And the only way to change that and to get good policy that protects religious freedom and protects innocent life and advances family values and ensures that our foundational principles are upheld rather than undermined, the only way to get that is to ensure that we have good policymakers who are willing to support life and liberty. And if you care about these issues, as the vast majority of Nebraskans do, you, I, and all Nebraskans will have the opportunity to make that clear by supporting and voting for the candidates who share our values. Nebraska's May 15th primary is just around the corner, and Nebraskans have a lot of important decisions to make from the national level down to local races as well. And Nebraska Family Alliance has produced a high-quality, state-of-the-art voter guide to make it as easy as possible for citizens to be informed on the candidates and know where they stand on the issues that matter most. I'm pleased to have with me today the fabulous Hallie Hamilton, Communications Director for Nebraska Family Alliance, to talk about this. Hallie, thanks for being on the show today.
Thanks for having me, Nate.
Hallie, tell us about the Nebraska Voter Guide and how people can find it.
The Voter Guide is just online. It's at nebraskavoterguide.com. Real simple, all spelled out, nebraskavoterguide.com. And we're excited about this year's voter guide because it's probably the most comprehensive guide that we've ever offered. It covers more races and has more details about where the candidates stand on all the important issues.
So nebraskavoterguide.com, and now this is a issues-based voter guide. So what does that mean?
An issues-based voter guide just provides information on the candidates' positions on specific questions that we asked about. So we sent candidates surveys that had between 15 and 20 questions, depending on the race, that they could answer support or oppose to those issues as we listed them out. And so we don't tell anybody how to vote. We don't grade candidates based on their response. It's not an endorsement or anything like that. We just give people the information so that they can make the assessment that is based on their values.
And this voter guide, NebraskaVoterGuide.com, is also personalized. So you actually basically get what your ballot is going to look like before you walk into your polling place.
Correct. When you go to NebraskaVoterGuide.com, there's a place for you to put in your address, and then that helps you to determine what congressional district you're in, what state legislative district you're in, as well as state board of education.
And there are a lot of races this year on people's ballot, all the way from federal level for Senate, Congress, governor, all the way down to school board, and of course our state legislature, a lot of seats up as well. So there's a lot of races for people to look at. And as you mentioned, we don't endorse candidates or tell people how to vote, but we do encourage them to vote. As you're looking at this year's primary and all of the candidates, why is it so important that this year that people vote, even in a primary?
Well, this year in particular, there are a number of races that have multiple candidates in the primaries. So there are a lot of candidates in these races, and we have an opportunity to really consider the options. And so, you know, we're excited that in this voter guide, we have responses and information about all five candidates in the U.S. Senate race, which is really great. You can go and you can compare them side by side. And we believe that the primaries are an important opportunity for people to be able to make sure that they're getting the best representative of their values in the general election.
It's great. You can get basically what your ballot is going to look like and know who the candidates are and where they stand on the issues by going to NebraskaVoterGuide.com. Hallie, why does NFA choose to invest so much into producing a high-quality voter guide?
We really believe that being involved starts with being informed. And if you're going to go to the ballot box, we want you to be able to cast a confident vote. Nobody likes going to the polls and just selecting based on name recognition or having to skip a bunch of races because you've never heard of the candidates or you don't know what the candidates do or what that race is about. So we've invested a lot to try to make this a helpful resource so that voters can be confident, so that they can know the people that they're voting for and where they stand on the issues. And we take calls regularly from people who have questions about races. One lady called the other day because she wanted to know what the role of the Secretary of State was. She was like, Secretary of State, what do they do? So, you know, we're excited to be able to provide that information because we know people really do care about who represents them at every level of government.
I agree 100%. And we do get a lot of phone calls asking about the election and our voter guide. And Hallie, when you hear from people, what are some of the, common questions you get or things people are wondering about this election or the voter guide that we might be able to clear up for anybody?
Well, sometimes people call and ask questions when they're having a hard time finding information. So we try to point them in the direction of those candidates' websites to help them get a better understanding. So sometimes people want more information about a specific candidate, and so we can try to help them find that. Sometimes they have questions about what the role of that elected office is. Sometimes they're wondering if we can help them with more down ticket races, which unfortunately we're not able to cover every race. So there will be races on people's ballots that we can't cover the county level just because we don't have the technology to be able to go that deep on the ballot. But we really do try to provide as much information as possible.
Hallie, in your experience working at Nebraska Family Alliance and being involved in elections and the legislative process, we know how important it is to vote, and I think most people know how important it is to vote, but yet every election cycle, the numbers are just depressingly low almost on voter turnout, especially in the primaries. Why do you think people choose not to vote?
Well, for those of us who are really invested in politics, who work every day with elected officials or working on these issues, it's a little hard to, like, how could you not go vote? But something that I have to remind myself of is that for most people working their everyday job, you know, they're doing their 8 to 5, picking the kids up from school. They're trying to keep track of everything on the weekend and get groceries and mow the lawn and get to Little League practice and all these different things that really weigh on people's time. And voting, though it's really important, I think it's easy for people to feel like, well, if I don't have the information, I can't cast a confident vote. I'm just not going to go to the polls, or I can't get there. They don't know that you can get an early ballot. And so that's one of the things that we try to do here. We try to make voting a little bit more accessible and provide the information that people need in order to cast that confident ballot. But it's hard. I know that if I didn't work here, it would be a lot harder to stay invested in the political process and what's happening. But like we like to say, what happens at the state capitol doesn't stay there. And the votes that our elected officials are casting are genuinely impacting our day-to-day lives, even when we're not quite paying attention to it.
Do you think some of this has to do with people are getting worn down with politics and it's another election cycle and all the campaigning, all the ads, all the phone calls, emails, yard signs? And we know how important these issues are, but for those of us who aren't policy wonks or watching the legislature every day, how can we communicate to the general public the importance of the work that's being done at our state capitol and also the implications that these policy decisions have on individuals and their families?
Yeah, political fatigue is very real. I think we even experience that a bit. I think an important thing for people to understand is that in order to be an invested citizen or invested in the political process, like, you don't have to be a policy wonk. You don't have to know all the ins and outs and all the details. You just need to know, what your values are, what you care about, and then make sure that you're voting for people who reflect those values. So something that happens at the local level in particular is that we have a tendency to vote for the people who just seem like they care. And I think sometimes that can end, we can end up with elected officials that don't represent our values when we only kind of take into, well, they really care about the community, which is so valuable. But really, we need people who both care and who reflect our values. So, just encourage people to kind of take that extra 5 minutes to find out if this candidate supports expanded gambling, or if they are pro-life, or if they care about religious freedom, or whatever it is that matters to you, gun control or taxes. And then not only where they're at on the issue, because it's so easy to say we should lower property taxes, but at the end of the day, how do you actually get it done?
That's a great point. And I think in Nebraska especially, it's always important to be an informed voter. But with our nonpartisan legislature, there's no party affiliation officially. So it doesn't say whether a person is running as a Republican or Democrat on your ballot. It just has their name. And I know you watch the legislature closely and pay attention to the things that go on there. And in a number of these races for the state legislature, is it fair to say that the differences between candidates in some of these races are night and day, and whoever ends up winning that seat could really make substantial changes to the political landscape here in Nebraska?
Definitely. There are a number of races for state legislature where there's a maybe a very conservative candidate or a very liberal candidate or moderate candidates who are just really going to differ on these issues. And we've seen every single year at the state capitol that there are a handful of critical votes that come down to just one or two legislators, just one or two. And we can have the best bill in the world, but if it comes down to one vote, we just can't win. It doesn't pass. So that's, we've really seen the value of that one race where something happens. There's a couple that stand out in my mind of, it's been 4 years ago now, there was a conservative candidate who was pro-life, you know, with us on the issues, who was defeated by less than 100 votes in his district. And that race ended up going to a very pro-choice senator. So that made that year a lot harder for us than it could have been. And we believe that Nebraska is pro-life. People in this state care about that issue. But we need to make sure that we elect officials who are going to represent those values.
And a great way to find out how those candidates stand on these important issues is to visit NebraskaVoterGuide.com. And I'm here with Hallie Hamilton, Communications Director for Nebraska Family Alliance and the magician behind the Nebraska Voter Guide. And Hallie, you know, I think something else we commonly hear on elections and voting is that my vote doesn't matter. And so I'd love to hear, you know, kind of how you think about that and how you respond to those people who choose not to vote because they feel so disenfranchised from the political process that they believe that their vote just doesn't matter.
I would point them to those election results that come down to a handful of people, because especially at the state and local level, that happens where, you know, you can look at a presidential race and maybe feel like your vote is a little disconnected from the outcome because of the Electoral College or how all of that breaks down. But at the state and local level in particular, you know, during the primary at in a state legislative race, you'll probably have between 3,500 and 5,000 people vote in a district. And those are, that's not that many people. So your votes really do count. They really do matter. And especially, you know, if you're an informed voter and you're telling other people, your neighbors, hey, I'm voting for this person, that makes a huge difference to those candidates.
It does. And again, I think some of these races are just, they're so critical because they are going to be decided by a very small number of votes. And the more people we have informed on the issue, the more likely we are to get the candidate who's truly going to represent their constituents well. And I think that in order to have good policy, you have to have good policymakers. And the only way to get that is to have informed voters. So, Hallie, if you could please give us one more plug for the Nebraska Voter Guide.
All right. So you can check out the Nebraska Voter Guide at NebraskaVoterGuide.com. Enter in your address to get your own personalized voter guide to compare the candidates side by side. We'll send you an email with your selections, and you can even text your ballot to yourself to be able to have it with you at the polls.
It's all at NebraskaVoterGuide.com. Hallie Hamilton, Communications Director for Nebraska Family Alliance, thanks for being with us on the show today.
Thanks, Nate.
It will be fascinating to see the results come in from the primary elections on Tuesday. A lot of important and close matchups to keep an eye on. And we'll really get to see the direction that it appears America is headed in 2018. But the good news is that we get to be in charge of that direction. So don't just vote. Be an informed voter and help your friends and family be informed voters. Ask them if they know who they're voting for, if they know who the candidates are in the local races, and if not, direct them to NebraskaVoterGuide.com where they can get a personalized voter guide and see what is going to be on their ballot and compare candidates on the issues side by side to make sure that they are casting a vote for the candidate that they know will truly represent them best. This is our opportunity again to exercise our rights as Americans to choose our leaders in an open and free election under our constitutional republic. But we're not just about elections. At Nebraska Family Alliance, our mission is to influence policy, mobilize prayer, and empower people to advance family, freedom, and life in our state and nation. And if you haven't yet partnered with Nebraska Family Alliance, you can visit NebraskaFamilyAlliance.org to learn more about our organization, our work, and what we're doing to ensure that life is cherished and protected, marriages and families thrive, and religious liberty is affirmed and celebrated. You can sign up for our e-network, a quick and easy way to stay informed and updated on the issues and latest happenings that will affect you and your family, your church, your ministry, and receive free information and resources to equip you to be informed and make a difference for the family in your community. But in order to achieve this vision, we need a broad coalition of Nebraskans from all across the state. So please take a moment and visit NebraskaFamilyAlliance.org and consider praying for, partnering with, and supporting Nebraska Family Alliance so that together we can continue to be a beacon of light, declaring hope and truth while standing for justice and strengthening families here in Nebraska. It's going to be another busy and important week. We'll be back next week with all the updates and more. I'm your host, Nate Groz, Policy Director for Nebraska Family Alliance. Thanks for listening to your Capital Connection.